Beloved radio friends, we welcome you again to the study of the precious Word of God as we greet you in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We continue our study in relation to Israel's greatest enemy, the great red dragon. We continue the conclusion of our reading in chapter 12 in the book of the Revelation, beginning, if I may, with verse 13 and reading to the end. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times, and half a time, from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth, and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. May God the Holy Spirit bless and prosper the reading and the ministry of the Word of God from this section today. Beloved, let me repeat with emphasis that we are seeking to prove from the chapter before us, from beginning to the end of it, the reason for Israel's greatest time of persecution at the end of the age, when the nation shall be in the throes of their greatest trial, which in the Word of God is called the Great Tribulation, which Jeremiah declared to be in his chapter 30 of his prophecy, verse 7, the day of Jacob's trouble. We have noted in our chapter the relation of Christ coming through Israel, the man-child, the one who is to have the ruling of all the nations and to be the king over all the earth. My beloved, the authority of the earth is being fought by many. And today we are seeing that nations war against nations. There's never been a satisfactory answer as to who should be king over all the earth. There never will be a satisfactory answer until the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, returns to set up his earthly kingdom as he will. But all that kingdom, as we have noted, must be set up and will be set up with and through his people Israel. And the nation of Israel is definitely connected with their Messiah in that coming day. May I repeat two things again that we have made mention of? God is seeking to bring before us the fact that the Messiah of Israel is definitely connected with that nation, the coming Messiah. And also, that nation is definitely related to the one who is the Messiah and who will be the king over all the earth. Now we have noted in our preceding lesson that the devil is cast out of the heavenly places together with all of his angels. He's cast out to the earth. Our last verse, which we read in the preceding section, declared, "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." Now, beloved, may I say to you, I cannot fathom the personality of the devil. I know enough about him, and perhaps too much. But I do know this. The devil undoubtedly knows the Bible. And what John has written is the fact that when he comes down in that day to the earth, he is coming down possessing great wrath. What makes him so angry? Now let me tell you, friend, look, you can talk to me all you wish about people getting angry, But I wanted to warn you. I hate to be around the devil when he's angry. And his anger is going to be poured out in that coming day. And the reason for it, note the words at the end of verse 12. Because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Now I want to tell you, when the devil knows that his time is just about running out, he's going to be the worst character that he ever has been in all of his history. Now I want you to know what follows. For here we find the words of God directed to his attitude as well as his conduct toward Israel. Verse 13. When the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. Now, beloved, I want to tell you something. The devil knows who is the source of all of his trouble. Oh, you say, who's that? The devil knows that Christ, the Son of God, is the source of all of his danger and his trouble. And you know, if the devil could, and he has tried it, he would have destroyed Christ himself. He tried it. He tried it when he was here upon the earth. But he failed. But when he's cast to the earth, he takes his anger out upon those who belong to Christ. Now, beloved Christian, may I remind you, don't you ever be surprised if the devil gets mad at you. In fact, I hope he is mad at you. Far better to have the devil mad at you than to have him friendly with you. Please remember that. But when cast to the earth, knowing his time is short, he vents his bitterness, his hatred, his persecution, particularly upon the woman. And may I repeat, the woman is Israel, which brought forth the man-child. Now one can recognize what it will mean for the nation of Israel to have the hatred, the anger of this great red dragon. And they will be persecuted as never before. Now may I state what I've already said again and again, but let me repeat it. There has never been in the history of the nation of Israel a time of intense suffering and persecution that can or will equal what is yet ahead. And I say very humbly, and I say sorrowfully, with regret, the nation has suffered greatly throughout its history. The hand of God has been upon them in chastening, undoubtedly. But far worse has been the hatred of the nations to the disgrace of the nations vented upon God's earthly people. But let me repeat again. Back of that awful day of persecution that lies before them will be the wrath of the devil persecuting the woman. Now may I say, unless it were for the providential protection of God, there would be no preservation for that nation. Now note these words as I read them in verse 14. To the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, and time, and half a time, from the face of the serpent. Now here is something very precious. The rapid as well as the guaranteed protection of God's care. And you know what God says? To the woman is given two wings of a great eagle. This expression is very interesting. For I would like to bring before your hearts and minds what we have recorded of the deliverance of Israel out of the land of Egypt long ago. And I'm going to read in chapter 19 of the book of Exodus. Listen to these words as I read verse 3 and 4. Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. My beloved, God says, I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Oh, may I say, whatever providential and earthly deliverance might be involved, it is God who is the protector. It is God who is the deliverer. It is God who will give them the two wings of a great eagle. And it will be God himself who will thus protect his beloved people in that day. How we will do it? Well, we'll speak further, God willing, in the next message concerning what possibly could be some of the earthly meaning of it. But may I still repeat, it suggests divine protection. And I would like to read in Deuteronomy chapter 32, please. Let me read again how God speaks of his care over Israel and concern for Israel as an eagle. Chapter 32 of Deuteronomy in verse 32, chapter 32 rather, verse 11 and 12. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. Oh, may I certainly emphasize again, as the word of God declares, in spite of Israel's failure, in spite of their weaknesses, and in spite of the dangers that shall be theirs in that coming day, there is the guaranteed protection of God. Note what he said, that she might fly into the wilderness. There has been much conjecture and many suggestions. But then in places of hiding, and there's worth and merit in it, that the Israelites of that day, the godly remnant, are told by the Lord Jesus in Matthew 24 to flee into the wilderness, flee to the mountains. And they will undoubtedly flee to the places of refuge that they can find to be kept safe during that period. Now note, she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. May I suggest again, my beloved brother and sister in Christ and all my listeners, God promises in that period of 3.5 years, 1260 days, 42 months, the period of Israel's greatest time of trouble, to preserve a godly remnant and bring them through it for his glory. Hallelujah, what a God. Shall we pray? Oh, Father, how we pray that all may be able to say, the eternal God is my refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. For Jesus' sake, amen.